Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, it's a long-running and perhaps will be eternal debate on the way humans act. Do we have free will? Are our actions decided by ourselves, or is it all pre-programmed by genetics? Kevin Mitchell from Trinity College argues that we have free will because of our genetics. He's the author of Free Agents, How Evolution Gave Us Free Will. Kevin, good afternoon to you.
Afternoon. Thanks for having me.
We kind of almost on a weekly basis, you see another story that there's a gene for, you know, some aspect of our behavior.
Yeah.
It would sound as if science is moving towards saying we are pre-programmed.
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, we're definitely not blank slates. So our genetics absolutely has an effect on our personality and our psychology and so on. But that doesn't mean that there's nothing left for us to do. Yes, we have some predispositions. You know, some people may be, say, more risk averse than other people, just naturally speaking. But in a particular context, some situation, they still have to decide what to do. It's going to be influenced by the way that they are. But it's not determined. And there's a real important distinction there between thinking, yeah, I come with a human nature and an individual nature that I'm going to express through my actions versus thinking I'm just a pre-programmed automaton or a robot.
Yeah. Though are those decisions, like I suppose most mammals, most animals, based on is this safe for me to do this?
Well, I mean, whenever we're making a decision, there's all kinds of factors that we have to weigh up in a way that actually, you know, the important thing is it can't be predetermined. We can't just have pre-programming for every possible scenario that we ever encounter. In fact, the whole reason why evolution gave us a brain is because evolution couldn't figure out the right thing to do in every scenario and just said, figure it out yourself. You guys make the decision.
Right? Yeah.
So we're genetically endowed with the mechanisms that we need to use to make decisions. So we weigh up the opportunities and the obstacles and the threats and try to come to an all things considered judgment about the best thing to do in any scenario.
Yeah, though even describing it that way sounds like it's a lengthy process, but normally those decisions are made instantaneously.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, like, people talk about decision making like it's one thing, it's one style. So most of our behavior is actually habitual. We're not like we're on sort of autopilot. We're not really thinking about it. And the reason is that we've actually done all the thinking already. In the past, we've been in some scenario, we did something, it turned out well. Next time we're in that scenario, we'll just do the same thing.
Right? Yes. Okay.
So we don't have to think. We don't have to deliberate about every decision, which is good because it would take forever, right? We'd be dead, actually, if we dithered over every little thing. So we have a very efficient style of decision making where if we have some good policies from the past, we just use those. And then some scenarios where we really don't know what to do, we have to think about it. We have to take some time and make some effort.
Yeah. To make that effort, to make those decisions, is there something pre-programmed in the brain or habitual in people where they need a certain amount of information before they feel comfortable making that decision?
Yeah, I mean, what's really interesting is to see people's different styles of decision making, which, you know, when we talk about personality traits, they manifest in the choices that we make. So if someone's more extroverted, that manifests in the kinds of things that they like. So for them, socializing carries a sort of a bigger reward in their mind than it would for somebody else. And so that feeds into the way that they make a decision. So, yeah, and for some people, they need to have more confidence in the information that they have and that the decision they're making is the right one before they'll do anything. And of course, other people are not like that. And we call them either decisive or impulsive, usually depending on how it turns out, actually.
Yeah. So, but are you saying that in broad categories, those styles of decision making are influenced by genetics?
Yeah.
So there, you know, there's wiggle room to say yes, there's free will, but it's not total free will.
Absolutely. And so this is where I think the debate gets bogged down in this idea that whether we have free will is a yes or no question. It's really more of a yes, we have it, but what style is it? Or what degree is it? And some people may have it in, you know, more free will than others. So you could say that someone is really impulsive, has less control over their long-term behavior than somebody else. So you can get into, you know, much more interesting kind of discussions once you get past this big ancient philosophical question, which is always framed in this sort of absolutist fashion, which just, to my mind, isn't helpful.
Yeah, but the more you think about it, it would strike me the more complicated it is in that, I mean, it's been lots of people have written on the subject that people's political points of views. Everyone likes to think their political point of views because, you know, you thought about the issues, blah, blah. But nobody knows everything about everything. That's an impossibility. So it's to a degree falling back on those kind of templates you spoke about before. It's the people around you. It's the job you have. It's your socioeconomic circumstances. A whole range of things that are kind of outside your control, really.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And in some ways, there's external things, like you said, the way you're brought up, the environment that you find yourself in, and, you know, some motivations that we have that we're not always aware of. And that, I mean, that just goes back to Freud, really, the fact that we have a subconscious, that some aspects of our decisions are influenced by that. And the question is just like, how far do you take it? Because some people would say, aha, the fact that there's any influence that you don't understand means that you don't have any freedom whatsoever, which I think is just absurd. There's no reason to take it that far. Instead, you can have a kind of a more nuanced position that says, yes, I'm making choices. They're influenced by lots of factors, some of which I'm aware of and in control of, and others of which I'm really not. And that's just the way that decision making works.
Is it possible to put a percentage on that?
You know, not really. I mean, what's interesting, I guess, would be to say, in some scenarios, we're more in control than others. So, for example, if you're really stressed, if you're really harried, if you're really busy, then the sort of degree to which you control your own behavior is probably less. You're probably more impulsive and less, goal-directed towards longer-term goals. That's true, too, for, you know, if we look at adults versus children. You can see that children are more impulsive. They're less able to control their behavior. They don't really manage their behavior over a long time frame because they're just thinking about the next 5 minutes or the next half an hour, right? So, once we get past the yes or no question, then we get into interesting stuff because it's like, okay, well, how much freedom does somebody have? What are the conditions that actually optimize, that are maximize freedom and control and so on? And that includes things like, you know, education and just the way we set up society so that people can exercise freedom.
So could you say that children actually exercise more free will than adults do? Because as you grow to be an adult, there's more constraints upon you.
Yeah, well, I mean, in a sense, children are like, just pure beings of pure id, right? They're just in the moment, acting, sort of impulsively, not trying to control things. And as we get older, we're controlling our own behavior, right? We're constraining our own behavior and we learn to do that. And sometimes in a lot of ways, we're taught to do that because controlling our individual behavior is a pro-social thing to do. It's the very thing that allows civilization and culture to happen. If everybody was just acting on their immediate urges and their personal goals all the time, we would never have a civilization at all.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, no, you could say that is free will. A decision to not act a certain way is possibly even more free will.
Absolutely.
So there have been. Now, I don't know how significant this is, but I've read about brain scans and the like, which show activity in the brain, in the sense of a person does something before they're aware they're going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, so there are some studies like that, and some neuroscientists and commentators make a lot out of them, more, I think, than they should do. I mean, in one sense, so neuroscience is progressing in an amazing way. We can look at humans, with brain scans. We can look at animals. We can see the activity in their brains when they're making a decision. In animals, we can even intervene, and we can cause them to make one decision versus another by activating some neurons or others in a way that lends itself to thinking that it's just a machine. Right, the machine is making the decision, and it's sort of you are just coming along for the ride, and so it's a challenge to figure out. Well, okay, how could you as a person, as a self, be in charge when this machine is just whirring away? And there's the other way to think of it is just that you use your brain to make decisions, right? So where else would you expect to find activity happening when you're making a decision? Mm. Obviously, in your brain is where it should be. And, the question is just whether it makes sense to think you are being pushed around by things that are happening inside you, or whether that's just the machinery you're using to make decisions. And I favor the latter view.
Yeah, well, because I would imagine that idea when you see and neuron fires before you take your hand off the hot plate.
Yeah.
That's, you know, operating from that template. But probably they've never seen that happening in someone's brain when they're, you know, voting for Fine Gael or whatever.
Well,
God, I thought I was a Sinn Féin supporter. What had my brain done to me?
Exactly. So yeah. The experiments that show this sort of activity prior to someone being aware that they're making a decision, they're all framed around this really simple kind of a task where you sit somebody down and they put their hand on the table and the experimenter says, now raise your hand whenever the urge takes you. And that's a weird thing to do, right? But the person decides to do that. And then because they have no reason to raise their hand one way or the other at any time, they just kind of flick it any once in a while. And effectively what they're doing is sort of allowing some random noise in their brain to make the decision for them. But that's the decision that they took, was to allow that to happen. And it turns out, yeah, when you do that, there is some brain activity that you can see kind of ramps up prior to a movement. The interesting thing is you can tweak that experiment and now give the person a reason to care. And this is designed where they raise either their right or their left hand. And depending on which hand they raise, a charity that they like gets some money. Otherwise, the exact same setup, same brain recording. And when you do that, when they have a reason to care and deliberate, then this noisy ramping up activity in the brain is not the thing that determines when the hand is raised or which hand is raised.
Okay. Why do we need to think that we have free will? Now, I know there are lots of academics who say we don't, but probably I would guess most people would like to think that we have agency in this world.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's very fundamental to, I think, just the essence of what it means to be a person and a human being is that we have some control over what we do. We have some autonomy and also we have some responsibility, right? So usually it's tied up with this question of moral responsibility. Can I blame somebody for what they did if they had no control over it? Right?
Mm.
And so if free will doesn't exist at all, then no one can be blamed or praised or punished or rewarded for any action whatsoever. And I think that's a really absurd kind of position to take. And there is no good scientific evidence for it. But if you get back into the sort of more gray area, then you could say, OK, well, under some circumstances, you had more control than others. So, for example, maybe you were intoxicated when you did something. And we know that when you're intoxicated, then you have less control over your own behavior. And that's something that we take into account. Or maybe you were psychotic, right? You know, or had dementia or something like that. Those are things we take into account in our legal system. And of course, just generally in kind of assessing moral responsibility in our personal relationships. So again, the key thing is to get away from this absolutist yes or no, all or none kind of framing into the more nuanced territory of understanding that some people under some conditions have more control over their behavior than others.
Kevin, thanks very much for coming in to speak with us today. The name of Kevin Mitchell's book is Free Agents, How Evolution Gave Us Free Will.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.